It was the division-clinching, playoff-berth-earning, blanket-wearing week in high school football, and you are in the right place. It's WLAW Sports' presentation of The Strong Side on Sports Radio 102.1. I'm Clark Ramsey, your host for The Strong Side, and joining me in studio tonight is the sports editor of the Huron Daily Tribune, Paul P. Adams.
Hey, I'm happy to be here, Clark. We got 8 weeks down, one more to go. Playoffs are, we can see them off in the distance. I'm so excited about this week and what lies beyond.
Both divisions of the Greater Thumb Conference were outright clinched by Lakers and Harbor Reach respectively this week. With the talk of the conference, the Bad Axe Hatchets fell short to Vassar and ended their playoff hopes.
So disappointing with the Hatchets. I mean, you talked about Harbor Beach and Lakers winning. No surprises there. Huge surprise with Bad Axe losing and really getting handled by Vassar. Just leaves everybody shaking their heads because I think everybody around the Thumb was pulling for the Hatchets.
Tonight's edition of The Strong Side is presented on WLAW Sports by McDonald's Food and Family Center in Bad Axe. Over the course of the next hour, we will travel around the Thumb at week number 8 of the MHSA football regular season and take a look at the postseason, only a week away. It's all coming up on Sports Radio 102.1 as you're listening to The Strong Side.
What's a football game without a great tailgate party? McDonald's Food and Family Center has all the supplies you need to make your fall game party a huge success. Whether you want the fixings to make your own great tailgate party snacks or you'd like ready-to-eat goodies to grab and go from the deli counter, McDonald's Food and Family Center will help make your pigskin pig out the talk of the parking lot. And of course, they're there 7 days a week for all your grocery, floral, and convenience needs. You'll be pleasantly surprised when you see how many shopping needs you can fulfill in one stop at friendly and helpful McDonald's Food and Family Center in the Northgate Shopping Center, Bad Axe.
Oh my goodness, real impressive.
That went really well.
Wonderful.
Great job on the presentation, ladies. Now who's up for cocktails?
I am, and I know the perfect place.
Hi, I'm Andy Deloney, chairman of the Michigan Liquor Control Commission. Whether it's an after-work affair or a girls' night out, Michigan has thousands of licensed establishments to host your celebration. So have fun. But know your limits and have a designated driver. Let's keep the party going for everyone.
A public service message from the Michigan Liquor Control Commission.
Tonight's presentation of WLAW Sports is being powered by the Blazing Speed of Thumb Sailors 4G LTE network. The talk of the Thumb, now with the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus. You're listening to The Strong Side with Clark Ramsey and Paul P. Adams of the Huron Daily Tribune, the sports editor over there for quite a number of years. And let's take a look at the area scoreboard in week number 8. Week 8 of 9 in the regular season, the playoffs are on the horizon. In 8-man football, Owen Gage just destroys Caseville of Thumb Broadcasting WLAW's Cruise 102's presentation of football on Friday. Owen Gage 54, Caseville 6, and from start to finish it was all Owen Gage.
Right at the very start, Caseville had a really nice drive in this game, drove it down to the goal line, threw an interception, and from that point forward it was all Owen Gage. But Caseville, real nice opening possession, looked like they were going to cash one in. Who knows, if they make a touchdown there, maybe things could have went a different way, but you got to give Owen Gage a lot of credit. Bounced back real nice. I mean, they got handled by Kingston the week before. This is the kind of win they needed. A lot of people, including myself, thought Caseville had a chance to win this game. We were dead wrong. Jake Warwick had a huge game, 4 touchdowns, was running all over the place. Awesome win for Owen Gage. They are all but insured a home playoff game when the 8-player playoffs begin in a couple weeks.
Also scoring 54 points on Friday night was Kingston, who now advances to 5-3 overall as they took out North Huron 54-18 in Kindy.
You know, the Warriors moved the ball. They had over 400 yards of offense. Shane Maurer had a big game in the, over 200 yards rushing. I think around 250 yards rushing. Warriors just couldn't punch it in the end zone enough, but moved the ball. Just a real... real disappointing season for North Huron coming off a regional championship last year. But as far as Kingston goes, you know, a real slow start to the season, but I think they're gaining momentum as they go. They've proven that they can play with some of the best teams in the state. They took Deckerville right to the limit. I think Kingston's got a relatively good chance especially if they go in that northern part of the bracket and get away from the Pack and Deckerville Lawrence part of the bracket. I think Kingston could be maybe a surprise team that makes a lot of noise in the playoffs.
And we'll take a look at that, of course, in our predictions at the end of the game, or end of the Strong Side this hour on Sports Radio 102.1. But the game everyone was talking about, we'll break down this game in full length here in a moment. But Peck in overtime takes out Deckerville 30-28 in a back and forth game.
Hey, these are two great rivals. They're only separated by less than 10 miles. This is kind of what we expected out of these two schools. They really do. If you look back at their scores, they really do bring the best out of each other. And like you said, we'll go in a little bit more in depth, but just a great game, a gritty effort by both teams. And, you know, they have a chance to meet again in the playoffs.
Now on to 11-man football. Not many surprises throughout the entire GTC. Of course, Vassar and Bad Axe. One surprising outcome. We're not expecting that one. But Sandusky took out Memphis 49-6. In a game we have absolutely zero stats on. Not a single stat available in the Sandusky-Memphis game, but Sandusky taking care of Memphis 49-6. Memphis now falls to 1-7 on the season.
You know, that happens quite a bit when teams go down to Memphis. They come back. It's like a black hole down there.
It's a black hole.
I know it's not a black hole because my brother lives over there, so it does exist, and you are able to come back from it, but I don't know why our teams go there and nothing comes back. But, hey, Sandusky, 5-3. They have K-Pack this week. They control their destiny for the playoffs.
Ubley and Brown City. Ubley with a big win over Brown City, 28-16. It was actually 22-0 before Brown City scored in that game. Ubley now 3-5 on the season.
You know, Ubley 3-5, as you said, but here's a team that scored more than they've let up than they've allowed. So, you know, Ubley is a decent team. If you're not ready for them, they will beat you. I see good things in the future for Ubley. It's kind of a relatively young team that suffered a lot of injuries this year. I would have loved to have seen this team not suffer the injuries that it did, but I still think that, you know, they're playing hard and they're not just playing out of string. They're playing to win and gain momentum for next year.
Harbor Reach takes out Marlette in the East 48-7 as Harbor Reach clinches the outright Greater Thumb East Division title, their fourth straight.
Almost a shutout. It was, I believe, a
28 seconds left.
Yeah, a touchdown with 28 seconds to go. Absolutely dominant Marlette team that was rolling up points against everybody. But they, you know, I said it here last week, this Harbor Beach defense, it's a buzzsaw, and then Marlette ran into it.
And one team that did post a shutout, the Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers, clinching the Greater Thumb Conference West outright title. Took out Reese in Reese 30-0.
You know, this is what you got to do. If you want to win a league championship, make a playoff run, you got to take care of the teams that you're supposed to. Lakers has not had a lot of success down in Reese or against Reese overall, but this, obviously Reese is down, but I this is what the Lakers needed to do. They put the hammer down, they took care of business, and they got out of there with the conference championship, still undefeated. Should assure themselves of at least one home game, maybe two.
And talking about a team that put the hammer down this week, Cass City outscores USA 50-6. And Cass City, with a forfeit in their hands against Caro next week, secures their sixth victory and secures an automatic playoff berth for the first time in a few years.
That's the first time since 2006. It's been a long time coming. A number of 5-4 seasons that Cass City has turned in since then. Just could not find a way to get that sixth win. They got it. They kind of got it handed to them. But if I'm Cass City, I'm going to take that win any way I can. They're in the playoffs. And they're a team that, I'll tell you what, you know, they could make something happen in the playoffs. Do not count out Cass City just because they're 6-3. They have a possible playoff run in them, especially where they're going to be slotted in the playoffs.
And Vassar and Bad Axe, our final game here, recovering. Vassar 48, Bad Axe 14. A not pretty game here for the Hatchets. And unfortunately, the Bad Axe loss eliminates automatic playoff berth options for them. They could get in at 5-4, according to with the committee, but that's unlikely.
Yeah, I don't see that. I mean, obviously, you know, they're going to have to regroup, go on the road, beat Ubley, and then watch the selection show and hope they get in. I would have much rather been in a spot of controlling my own destiny. This one really, this is disappointing. Not only disappointing that they lost, but they really got handled in this game by Vassar. I think that's a team that they should have beat. Not sure if mentally if they if they recovered from that loss to Lakers, and I worried about that here last week. I said it could have gone either way. They could have got out of that game with Lakers and really been focused for Vassar, or it could have just unraveled all that momentum that they had built up, and I think the latter happened. I think they just came unraveled a little bit.
712 on your FM dial on Sports Radio 102.1 on the Strong Side with Clark Ramsey and Paul B. Adams here, breaking down week number 8 of the regular season of MHSA football in the Thumb of Michigan. When we return, we'll take an in-depth look at all the games right on Sports Radio, left side or right side. You're listening to The Strong Side.
Times are tough. Sometimes it's hard to earn even a buck.
Hey, mister, you want to buy some lemonade?
Scram! Nice try, kid. If it's that hard to make a quick buck, how hard must it be to make a quick 50 bucks?
All right, we're going to infiltrate here, here, and here, and the diamond will be ours.
Or maybe.
So you're sure you want to sell your kidneys?
Absolutely.
All right.
Or you could simply refer a friend to Thumb Cellular. That's right, at Thumb Cellular, it pays to refer a friend. When your friend switches to Thumb Cellular, you'll earn $50 off your next bill, and your friend will get $50 off too. That's $50 for you and $50 for a friend you refer to Thumb Cellular. See Thumb Cellular's offices in Bad Axe, Caro, Pigeon, or Sandusky for details. Terms of service apply. That's Thumb Cellular, the talk of the thumb.
You love Thumb Cellular!
The iPhone 6 and iPhone 6 Plus are now available at Thumb Cellular.
What's a football game without a great tailgate party? McDonald's Food and Family Center has all the supplies you need to make your fall game party a huge success. Whether you want the fixings to make your own great tailgate party snacks, or you'd like ready-to-eat goodies to grab and go from the deli counter, McDonald's Food and Family Center will help make your pigskin pig out the talk of the parking lot. And of course, they're there 7 days a week for all your grocery, floral, and convenience needs. You'll be pleasantly surprised when you see how many shopping needs you can fulfill in one stop at friendly and helpful McDonald's Food and Family Center in the Northgate Shopping Center, Bad Axe.
Joining the conversation with WLEW Sports on Twitter, simply search for at WLEW Sports. That's at WLEW Sports. And click the follow button. Receive in-game updates, stats, and even photos from the game. And join in on the conversation for the WLEW Sports pregame show. And perhaps even be mentioned on air. Thanks to Kayla Carson, our Director of Social Media and Media Relations on the WLEW Sports broadcast team. Of course, the area games we were talking about, one game I do want to cover here from 8-man football, which was a very tight game, Peck and Deckerville. The past two state champions in 8-man football faced off on the gridiron, this time in Deckerville, Michigan, and it was tight all the way through. After the first quarter, it was 0-0, but then all of a sudden, into the second quarter, it's 14-14. Peck with 14 points in the second quarter, and Deckerville with 14 points in the second quarter. And, Paul, you can help me out here with the scoring, but Peck came out and scored first, makes it 6-0. With Cody Abrego, 13-yard pass to Kyle Abrego. I presume they're brothers?
They are brothers. Okay, they are both seniors. They are not twins, so figure that out.
All right, I'll take it. And Peck comes out to a 6-0 lead. But then Deckerville comes back and responds, makes it 6-6, with a Dylan Petullo 39-yard pass to Nathan Spatzel, two-point conversion failed, makes it a 6-6 tie in the second. Deckerville actually scores again. A Danny Wolf 15-yard run, two-point conversion was good, and the stone run makes it 14-6 Deckerville. But Peck is not done before halftime. Cody Abrego with a 70-yard kickoff return on the ensuing kickoff. Two-point conversion is good, and we're tied all up at 14-14 entering halftime. Third quarter, Deckerville, Stone, 3-yard run, a 2-point conversion is good, makes it 22-14 Deckerville, but then Peck responds actually in the fourth quarter, the only score of the fourth quarter, a Kyle Abrego 54-yard run, 2-point conversion is good to tie it back up at 22 apiece, and we have reached the end of regulation, so we head to overtime. In overtime, Deckerville's actually strikes first, Danny Wolf with a 10-yard run, but the two-point conversion fails, makes it 28-22 Deckerville, and Peck on the ensuing possession, Gallagher with a 70-yard pass to Kyle Abrego, ties it at 28 apiece, and they go for two for the win, and Gallagher's pass to Kyle Abrego is complete, and Peck with a two-point win on the road at Deckerville, 30-28.
What a game. You know, when I became sports editor, I gave up the right to cover games like this because I don't have the time. Seth Stapleton was there covering this for us, and back-to-back weeks, he's had the Lakers and Bad Axe game, and then he gets this game. The guy gets all the great games to write about. He's a big game writer now. I keep telling him that. I don't know if he believes that, but you know, but what a great game. This was the NCTL championship game, goes to overtime, everything that you could hope for. I kind of said it last week. Peck hadn't really played anybody coming into this game. They were number one out of respect. They were the defending champions, but they played a very, very soft schedule. They might not want to hear that over there in Pirate Country, but you got to go challenge yourself. And quite frankly, this was their first and only challenge of the year. They go back, and they're going to be at Charlton Heston next week. And Charlton Heston is not a great school, so they've only faced one real test. And I got to tell you, coming out of this game, Lawrence, to me, is the number one team in the state. I saw Lawrence a couple weeks ago come into Deckerville and dismantle the Eagles, top to bottom, offensively, defensively, special teams. And for Peck to really struggle with Deckerville, I know it's a rivalry game, but when you look at like opponents, it's not even close. I think Peck needs to get some things in order if they want to defend this state championship. Now, as for Deckerville, I like the way they played this game. I think there's a lot of good things they can get out of this game, a lot of momentum to be had as they finish up at Dryden and go into the playoffs.
Deckerville actually outgained Peck in both rushing and passing. 292 yards for Deckerville, rushing the ball off of 49 carries, whereas Peck with 255 yards off of 44 carries. Deckerville had 39 yards through the air versus Peck's 26. Peck was 3-for-7 in the passing, whereas Deckerville was 1-for-5 and one interception. Both teams had one fumble and one lost fumble. Penalties were pretty much even. Peck with 7 with 55 yards. Deckerville 5 for 65 yards. But rushing for Peck, Cody Abrego, 24 carries, 92 yards, and a touchdown on the kickoff return. Dudley, 7 carries, 78 yards. And Kyle Abrego, 8 carries for 75 yards. Gallagher for 13 yards, passing the ball, 2-for-6 passing for a touchdown. And then Cody Abrego also threw for a touchdown, 1-for-1 for 13 yards and a score. Kyle Abrego brought in both reception touchdowns for Peck, 2 for 20 yards, and Dudley 1 for 6 yards. Deckerville Wolf, 26 carries, 144 yards, and 2 scores. Petullo, 4 carries for 81 yards, and Stone, 19 carries, 67 yards, and 1 touchdown. Petullo was also 1 for 5 in passing and 1 interception for 39 yards and a touchdown, and that 1 reception was into Spatzel's hand for 39 yards and that score. Deckerville now 4-1 in the NCTL, comes in second place, and 6-2 overall, both losses coming to Peck, and they are at Dryden next week, who is 3-2 in NCTL and 5-3 overall.
Yeah, just great game all the way around. I think these teams should, you know, Deckerville should beat Dryden fairly easily. Peck, I think they need to really figure some things out if they want to defend a state championship. You know, I look at those passing numbers, only 26 yards through the air. That was a team last year that absolutely lit up Rapid River through the air over and over and over. Not sure if they have that in their back pocket this year, but you're certainly going to need to throw the ball a lot more effectively, both of these teams, if you want to advance far into the playoffs.
And Peck at 8-0 on the season, and 6-0 clinches the NCTL championship. And Peck travels to Charlton Heston Academy, who is 0-8 on the season. And come to find out, they actually have North Huron's old scoreboard up in Charlton Heston now.
I was not aware of that.
I actually found that out from Chad Knobloch on the broadcast a couple weeks ago. On to 11-man football. Vassar 48, Bad Axe 14. Bad Axe suddenly this year became everyone's favorite team that they like to support, good reason.
Well, they've been down for so long. They haven't even – this is the most wins they've had since 2001. They were trying to make the playoffs for the first year. since 2001. You know, when a team's down and doesn't have that kind of success for so long, you kind of throw your affiliations aside, and you really want to see that team do well. That's why I think everybody's so disappointed. I took this one hard, man. I really want to see Bad Axe win this game.
Tommy Morneau and Bad Axe actually came out on their opening drive and scored, made it 6-0 Bad Axe. But then Vassar rattled off 5 straight touchdowns in the first half to get to halftime, and suddenly it's 34-6 Vassar over Bad Axe. In the third quarter, Tommy Morneau has the only score for both teams, a 44-yard run and a 2-point conversion, brings Bad Axe within 20 points, 34-14, but then Vassar scores twice more in the fourth quarter, a Pratt 31-yard pass to Humpert, and then Nolan Garnett, 33-yard run, makes it 48-14, a final score from Bad Axe. Vassar defeats Bad Axe, and Vassar now 5-3 on the verge of potentially making the playoffs. We thought this was going to go actually the other way, where Bad Axe was going to make the playoffs. Unfortunately, they're at 4-4 with one game to go, so they can't. It's physically impossible to get an automatic berth.
Right.
The only way through selection committee selecting them, but you need to have a pretty good track record typically to get that 5-4 selection.
What you need to do is have wins over quality opponents, you know, that carry a lot of points, and Bad Axe really doesn't have that. Sandusky would help them, but I just don't see enough points for Bad Axe to squeeze in at 5-4. And Vassar, yes, they're 5-3, but they have to go to Tri-Valley East powerhouse Frankenmuth. I just don't see Vassar being able to beat Frankenmuth, and again, I don't see Vassar with the wins necessary to squeeze in at 5-4. So I don't think either one of these teams at 5-4 get into the playoffs. But that's the fun part about it. I don't have the whole playoffs broken down. I don't know how many 5-4 teams are going to squeeze in. So we will know. We know this for sure before we do our playoff special next week. We'll know who's in the playoffs before the field is announced. We just won't know the pairings because it's a mathematical formula of who gets in. So we'll know the 5-4 teams. So we'll know if Bad Axe can go and beat Ubley. We'll know before Sunday if they get in. We just won't know who they're playing.
Of course, the Vassar Bad Axe game you could have heard on thumbtailgater.com. And our friend Eddie Fury was saying that the Bad Axe actually seemed hopeful for a comeback, but there was an interception in the end zone on the 4-yard line that Bad Axe threw to start the downfall for the Hatchets, and blowing rain, of course, all night long in Bad Axe for that one. Vassar ended up passing the ball for 228 yards, and Mike Pratt had a big night. He was 11 for 15 in passing for 3 touchdowns. He also rushed for 3 touchdowns and 131 yards off of 15 carries. And all we know for Bad Axe stats is Tommy Morneau had both touchdowns of that game. He also threw 2 interceptions. Bad Axe, of course, need to win next week against Ubley and be selected by the MHSA committee to make the playoffs. Vassar, they still have a chance at making the playoffs. They are at 5 secured victories so far, but they travel to Frankenmuth next week.
Yeah, Frankenmuth's a powerhouse.
7-1. So more than likely, Vassar will not be getting in to the playoffs as they have lost to Harbor Beach. They lost to Lakers. 2 good teams there, and that probably will not go well in the eyes of the dark arts of the MHSAA. Looking now at the East in the division championship for the Greater Thumb Conference East Division, Harbor Beach takes out Marlette big, 48-7. It was 48-0 with 28 seconds left in this game until Marlette finally got on the board with a Lentz 5-yard pass to Alec Cloyd, and the Lentz kick for the extra point made it 48-7. Harbor Beach with the victory, 48-7. The big stat of this one, though, Connor Thomas, who has had 19 touchdowns in the past 5 weeks coming into this game, he was held scoreless and only had 18 carries for 58 yards on the night and was not on receiving the ball at all. For Harbor Beach, they had 283 yards rushing the ball off of 32 carries. They passed the ball 2-for-3 for 21 yards, no interceptions, no fumbles or fumbles lost. They only had 1 penalty on the night. And Chris Keyes, 4 carries for 83 yards. He's averaging over 20 a carry. Mitch Hearn, 3 carries, 67 yards and a touchdown. Austin Seltz, a small night for him, only 8 carries for 27 yards, but he still scored 1 rushing touchdown for him. Brandon Puff, 7 carries, 26 yards and a score. And Devin Lemansky, 2 carries for 25 yards and 2 touchdowns. Josh Yelke, 2-for-3 in passing for 21 yards. Both of those touchdowns passing the ball into the hands of Chris Keyes, 2 receptions, off for 21 yards for Chris Keys as well. Connor Thomas, so we said 18 carries, 58 yards, and then Fisher, 3 carries, 27 yards. Lentz only had 24 yards passing the ball. So Harbor Beach limits Marlette to 105 yards altogether on the night. Very impressive.
Welcome to the Ron Rubel coach defense. If he wants to take you out of a game, usually that happens. I'm sure the focus all week was, we're going to make everybody else but Connor Thomas beat us, and Marlette couldn't do it. What I like, going back to that Harbor Beach offense, look at how evenly all that production was spread out. You know, last week, Austin Seltz had a huge game against Ubley, but now, look at that, all spread out. Keys, Hearn, Seltz, Poff, Lemanski, pick your poison against this offense. Maybe they're not putting up the greatest numbers in the world, but it's all-around production, and it just means to me, like, all right, if you want to say we're going to take Austin Seltz out of the game, there's three or four other backs that can beat you. I don't know if there's one player that you can say, we need to take him out of the game. We're not going to let Josh Schelke beat us. Okay, he's just going to hand the ball off to all of his running backs. I really like the balance of this Harbor Beach offense, and I really like what they're doing on defense. I mean, they have not allowed more than 7 points all year to anybody.
In fact, the 7 points Marlette gave up, that was actually the first extra point or two-point conversion given up by Harbor Beach all season long, who now, I believe, have only given up 24 or 25 points on the season.
Yeah, nobody's gone double digits against this Harbor Beach defense. I mean, it's really getting lost in the gaudy numbers that the offense is putting up, but defensively, this team is really, really good, and I think, you know, they lost one of their leaders with Jonas Hermann on that line, and, mm-hmm. and I think they're starting to adjust to that, and you can see that in the defensive numbers that they're allowing.
Connor Thomas was scoreless for the first time all season. Harbor Beach now 8-0 on the season, 5-0 in the division, clinches the East title, the fourth straight year for that. Harbor Beach hosts USA, who is 1-7 on the season and came in second to last place in the West at 1-4. USA's lone victory, they beat Reese 8-6 4 weeks ago. Marlette is seen at 5-3 on the season. They need one more victory to secure an automatic playoff berth, but they host Armada, who is 3-5 on the season and 2-5, but they do play in the BWAC, the Blue Water Area Conference, a very tough conference. They did beat Imlay City 26-19, and they beat KPAC 32-16.
Yeah, that Blue Water Area Conference, that BWAC, that's a real step up in play. So, you know, KPAC's coming in, Armada's coming in at 3-5, but that's a pretty solid 3-5. I think if they were in the Greater Thumb Conference, that number would be switched around. Still a really good shot for Marlette. They control their own destiny. It's all you can hope for at this point. You win there, you don't have to worry about squeezing in at 5-4. I do want to say for Harbor Beach, you know, last year they were rolling in to USA, and they really stumbled out of the gates against USA. USA was taking it to them in the first half. I think Harbor Beach kind of let themselves look that much ahead to the playoffs, and they had to dig down deep and pull away at the end. I would hope that we're going to see a much more focused effort from the Pirates and come out, take care of business, and then go to the playoffs this time around.
And I'm sure the coaching staff, Troy Schelke and Ron Rubel, will be certain to remind the kids that happened last year, and then Harbor Beach scored in bunches right before halftime to come out to a rather large and substantial lead. And, of course, Marlette trying to get in the playoffs, which would set up a nice district in Division 7.
Yeah, if we can get Marlette in that district, and Sandusky could take care of KPAC, Cass City's already in, that's going to set up a great Thumb district. You'll have Lakers, Cass City, Sandusky, Marlette. If Sandusky and Marlette don't do their part in it, I'm not really sure who's going to fill in the gaps in that district. So I would much rather have a Thumb district.
And, of course, Thumb Tailgater will be covering that Marlette at Armada game. You can catch that at thumbtailgater.com. Armada is one of the weaker teams in the BWAC, but they are capable of winning that one. And they are Class B when it all comes together. One thing I would like to point out of the Harbor Beach football program, they are on the brink of finishing their 50th season with only two coaches. Jack Dillon with 32 seasons, and Troy Schelke looking to complete his 18th regular season at the helm.
That's just simply amazing to me, and I think that stability really means something. And you got to remember, back in, what, 07, around that time? Mm-hmm. I mean, Harbor Beach football was going through some dark times.
07, they made to the state semifinals.
Okay, then the following year.
08, they went
1-8. Yeah, so they went through some dark times there, and at that time, Harbor Beach kind of became a soccer school for a couple of years. So, you know,
somehow they're pulling out both.
I'm glad that they didn't run Coach Schelke out of town on a rail for having a couple bad seasons, but great stability in a program, and I really do believe that builds a winning tradition when you know what your coaches are going to do. And, you know, not only with Coach Schelke, but Coach Rubel's been with them, I don't know, for the whole time, but he's the only defensive coordinator I can remember, and Doc Messing and Coach Sorensen and all those guys. They're the only guys I've known at Harbor Beach in my time at the Tribune, so you got to, you know, tip your hat to that kind of stability in a program.
7:32 and a half on FM radio, Sports Radio 102.1. You're listening to The Strong Side with Clark Ramsey and Paul P. Adams in studio here, broadcasting live from the Clark Ramsey Manor on the east side of Harbor Beach. We saw every possible combination of weather this past week. We had beautiful skies, we had some mist, we had some rain. I was in Marquette for the majority of the week, and I swear it rained from the moment I left on Tuesday all the way to when I came back on Friday from Harbor Beach all the way up to Marquette and back. But right now we are experiencing what I believe is called fall weather. And it's time to check up on your weather, which is being brought to you by Graf Chevy Buick. You're here today, here to stay, Chevy and Buick dealer in Sandusky. For great vehicles, great incentives, and visit Graf Chevy Buick on M46 in Sandusky. Paul Janis, what do you have for us?
Unsettled weather will be with us for the next few days as another upper-level low swings in from the north. This will settle itself just off to our south as we look ahead towards Tuesday, giving us rounds of showers and quite a bit of cloudiness right through the middle of the week. Mostly cloudy skies expected for tonight. We'll have some developing rain after midnight. Overnight lows at 40 to 45. Winds from the south-southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour with a 50% chance of showers. Tomorrow will be a cloudy day, 70% chance of rain showers throughout the day. Highs at 53 to 58, winds from the south-southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Showers likely tomorrow night will have lows at 38 to 43, winds from the northwest at 6 to 12 miles per hour. Tuesday, it'll be a cloudy day, some spotty rain showers, highs 45 to 50. From WLEW Precision Weather Service, I'm meteorologist Paul Janis.
From the Thumb's premier truck dealer, Graf Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky, here's Keith, Brandon, and Sam.
You know, guys, I get a little excited this time of year. With the weather changing, the leaves on the trees are turning color, and the truck deals couldn't be better.
And with the selection, savings, and incentives on now, there's never been a better time to come into Graf and Sandusky and pick up your new pickup.
Save almost $11,000 on Chevy Silverado 4-wheel drive, double cab, half-ton trucks. The most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickups on the road.
Save $15,000 on a 2014 2500 crew cab with a Duramax diesel.
Remember, trucks are what we do, and your Chevy truck is in stock and priced for immediate delivery.
Stop in and take the test drive challenge, and we'll contribute $10 to help subsidize mammograms for the uninsured. Buy a vehicle and we'll donate $100.
We are the Thumb's premier truck dealer, Graf Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky, celebrating 100 years of automotive excellence.
What's a football game without a great tailgate party? McDonald's Food and Family Center has all the supplies you need to make your fall game party a huge success. Whether you want the fixings to make your own great tailgate party snacks or you'd like ready-to-eat goodies to grab and go from the deli counter, McDonald's Food and Family Center will help make your pigskin pig out the talk of the parking lot. And of course, they're there 7 days a week for all your grocery, floral, and convenience needs. You'll be pleasantly surprised when you see how many shopping needs you can fulfill in one stop at friendly and helpful McDonald's Food and Family Center in the Northgate Shopping Center, Bad Axe.
Listen to WLEW Sports in more ways than ever before. Tune into Sports Radio 102.1. Download the Cruise 102 app on your Apple or Android device. Or listen live and worldwide at WLEWSports.com. Clark Ramsey and Paul Adams here on the Strong Side, broadcasting live from the Clark Ramsey Manor and our East Side campus in Harbor Beach. We've been breaking down week number 8 of the regular season. And one game that was a good victory for an Eastside team, the Ubbly Pearcats take out the Brown City Green Devils 28-16. It was 22-8 at the end of the third quarter, and both teams scored one more time in the fourth to make it 28-16. No scoring in the first quarter. Second quarter, Ubbly scored twice. Evan Block on a 17-yard run. Two-point conversion was good, made it 8-0 Ubbly to start out the game. Then Evan Block with a 10-yard pass to Roman Welton. Two-point conversion was good as well, makes it 16-0. And then on to the third quarter, Evan Black with another 30-yard run. Two-point conversion failed, made 22-0 before Brown City got on the board with a Brendan Herman 3-yard run. Two-point conversion was good, 22-8. Ubbly still leading by 2 touchdowns. And to the fourth quarter now, Ubbly's Dominic Rosenthal, 9-yard rumble in for a score. Two-point conversion no good, 28-8 Ubbly. Then Brown City chips one in there at the end. Eric Burgess with a 33-yard run. Two-point conversion was good, makes it 28-16, but Ubbly walks away with a 12-point victory and a 375-yard rushing night on week number 8.
Ubbly, I believe, might be the last true wing T team left in the Thumb. Every other team in the Thumb has wing T. Well, I shouldn't say every other, but a lot of the teams that still run the wing T have wing T tendencies, but they also will run some pistol or shotgun. You watch Ubbly, they are a wing T team, and when you see 63 attempts for 375 yards, that means they are just grinding it out and keeping the ball out of your hands. The wing T figures the best defense is a good offense. If Ubbly has the ball, you can't score on them as long as they're not turning it over. They're not a great passing team, but you got to give it up to Coach Kaufman and his staff. They lost Jeffrey Wright at quarterback. Evan Block has come in. It's really weird to see a quarterback wearing a number 30.
Almost as weird as a 98, per se, would you say? But
yeah. We won't go there.
We won't go there.
But, you know, Evan Block's done a nice job running that offense, and they really take care of the ball, and that's why I truly believe that they have a real decent shot against Bad X this coming week, because they can just keep the ball out of your hands.
They averaged 5.95 yards per carry on the night, of course, that 375-yard effort, whereas Brown City only had 212 yards off of 29 carries, but they did pass for 148 yards versus Ubbly's 10 yards and 1-for-2 passing, but you don't need to pass when you have such a strong running game going. Ubbly did lose 2 fumbles on the night and had 3 penalties for 25 yards, but Derek Brown, the freshman, 34 carries, 173 yards. Roman Welton, 13 carries, 101 yards. Derek Block, 8 carries, 68 yards, 2 scores. And Dominic Rosenthal, 8 carries, 33 yards, and a touchdown. Impressive.
I want to go back just to you know, end the discussion on the attempts. Harbor Beach, in their win over Marlette, 32 rushing attempts. Ubbly, 63. So they almost doubled it. I mean, that is just almost unheard of, that many attempts in a game where you only scored 28 points. Just controlling. And it's so frustrating when you're the other team.
There's nothing you can do.
There's nothing you can do about it when the wing tee is working to perfection. And it obviously was in this game where they are literally, the old saying is, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Well, it was about 5.9 yards in a cloud of dust for the Bearcats.
And for Brown City, Burgess, 9 carries, 170 yards. And 1 touchdown, Hagner, 6 carries, 50 yards. Wood, 7 carries, 34 yards. Herman, 6 carries, 18 yards. And the other touchdown for Brown City. Burgess was 7-for-16 in passing and 1 interception for 148 yards. So still, Ubbly's defense did not allow Burgess a plus 50% in passing on the night. Hagner bringing in 3 of those receptions for 50 yards. Ubbly now 3-5 on the season, despite heavy, heavy casualties.
Yeah, and that just shows me, you know, this team has really circled the wagons. I think Coach Kaufman's really, you know, say, hey, you know, the season's not over. I think last year, you know, there was a lot of internal turmoil over there. Not so much this year. The injuries have hurt, but I think the players have really rallied around each other. And like I said, it's a young team. I think they're building momentum, and I would definitely watch out for the Bearcats. If they're a healthy team next year, I really think that they could be one of those Greater Thumb East contenders.
And last year, Ubbly went 3-6. They've already matched that this year. with a victory over Bad Axe, which they host next week. They would finish at 4-5 and improve in versus last season. And Ubley hosts Bad Axe, who is 3-2 and 4-4 in the season. Brown City now falls to 1-4 in the East on the finalized standings in the Greater Thumb Conference East Division, 2-6 overall. They travel to Algonac, who is 1-7 on the season. So I'd like to think Brown City will at least get three victories on the next season. 2-6, they'll end up at 3-6 on that season.
Yeah, that's not going to be a fun game to predict in the Tribune picks. Brown City and Algonac, that's not going to be a fun one at all.
Well, especially when in both divisions, East and West, there's not a single division game going on, and you see so many unknown people.
This
so we'll see what the picks are going to be like.
It's moving week in the Tribune picks this week. We did not take it easy on people in Week 9, and traditionally that's what happens in Week 9. You can really gain a lot of ground or lose a lot of ground. It's going to be a real fun week because they're all non-conference games.
And a game we don't have many stats on here is Cass City and USA. Cass City 50, USA 6. It was 34-0 at halftime. Cass City out to a big lead, and they just continue to pour it on. 16 more points in the second half, I should say, whereas USA finally gets on the board in the second half as well with 6 points. The only stat we have is Ryan Miller-wise with 10 carries and 105 yards and a touchdown. But Cass City, being led by a couple juniors, Mason Earl at quarterback and Sawyer Cuthrell at running back, they are into the playoffs with a forfeit with Caro next week.
They are into the playoffs, and this is exactly what they needed. This was a team that started 2-0, ended up losing 3 in a row, and now they fought and clawed their way back into the playoffs. Great job by Coach Scott Cuthrell and his staff and his players. I mean, this is a young team, a lot of juniors on this team, but this is what they need. They need to break through that 5-4 barrier any way they can. And, you know, it's a forfeit win. Let's be honest. They were going to beat Carroll, whether Carroll had a team or not. Carroll was not a good team this year. Cass City was going to beat that team. So you could say they backdoored in with a forfeit. They were going to beat Carroll. But this is just a great, great win for them and an achievement for them to get into the playoffs. And I think they could be one of those contenders for the Greater Thumb West next year, and gaining that playoff experience is only going to help them.
And Cassie, if 5-3, receives a forfeit win against Carroll for their 6th win next week. USA at 1-7, they travel to Harbor Beach, who is 8-0 on the season. And like we said, USA came out early and took the lead against Harbor Beach last year at USA, but I have a hard time believing that the USA would pull off of them.
I don't think so either, but proud team. I know Coach Beagle really well. Utmost respect for him and what he's done. He's always got limited resources over there, it seems like, with players. But, they're going to come out and they're going to give Harbor Beach everything they have. And what they have, who knows. But, Harbor Beach doesn't take them seriously. We saw what happened last year. They punched Harbor Beach in the mouth, didn't knock them out, and Harbor Beach responded. So you can't take anybody lightly, especially in the Greater Thumb Conference. Even a 1-7 team like USA, hey, nothing would make their season better than if they could somehow surprise Harbor Beach.
And the last game we want to talk about here before taking a look at our projections of the playoffs, we haven't forgotten about you. It's the Elkton Pigeon Bayport Lakers. They took out Reese 30-0. Despite the score, this makes you feel good anytime you can shut out Reese, the Rockets, scoreless in this game against the Lakers, which was at Reese as well. Reese threw 2 interceptions on the night, which went into the hands of Brennan Wisner and Brandon Wuschlager, both younger players for the Lakers. And rushing the ball, Brandon Wisner, of course, a freshman in that one. Diaz Reyes rushing the ball 18 times for 126 yards and a touchdown. Terrence Dube, 7 carries, 73 yards and a touchdown. And Dustin Cady chips in 71 yards and a score as well. He threw the ball for 4 for 7 on the night for 74 yards and a score through the air. Into the hands, all the yardage to Seth Bowles for 74 yards and 1 score. One thing we would like to note is quarterback Jacob Hartman for Reese actually left the game with an injury and did not return in this one. Terrence Dubes led the tackling defensive front for Lakers with 11 tackles, Austin McKay with 10 tackles, and Taylor Fall with 9, and of course 2 interceptions in props for Lakers defense.
What I like about this team is very similar to what I was talking about with Harbor Beach. They got a lot of weapons. You can't just say we're going to shut Dustin Cady down, because you know what? Dustin would sit back there and hand the ball off to Mauricio Diaz-Reyes and Terrence Dubes all day long. He's perfectly content with that. And if you want to take one of those running backs away, Dustin Cady can light you up for 300 yards on the ground. Very well-rounded offense, I think. And I think Dustin Cady's become a better thrower of the ball this year. And Seth Bowles is a great target for him. And then you talk about that defense. It, for me, it really starts with Dubes and Austin McCabe. And Taylor Falls really beginning into the mix. And you got an athlete with Brendan Wisner. You just let him run around in space, make plays happen, pick off passes. You know, as long as these guys are healthy, this is a really, really good Lakers team. And I think they're building some momentum. They got a tough one coming up next week against Beale City. But you know what? That's not a bad game for them to really get tested going into the playoffs.
And, of course, you'll be able to hear that game on Sports Radio 102.1 on WLAW Sports with Clark Ramsey, Dave Hansen, Kayla Carson, and Doug Cole as we travel to Saginaw Valley State University with a kickoff at 7 p.m. on Friday. Coverage will start at 6:10 p.m. on Sports Radio 102.1 FM with yours truly. In this game, I'd like to point out Reese's leading rusher, 4 carries, 46 yards. That's all said and done. So Lakers front four really shutting Reese down from the get-go.
And they are going to be tested. That front four is going to be tested. Beale City is a classic wing tee, smash-mouth football team. We got to see them in the state championship game a couple years ago against Harbor Beach, and they really like to run the clock, control the ball, be physical with it. Now, if you can jump out to a lead on them, get up a couple touchdowns, they don't throw the ball very well. And I think, you know, you're looking back to 2012, Harbor Beach jumped out, made them one-dimensional. If you can make Beale City one-dimensional, you're in really, really good shape. But if you let them control the ball, they'll come through with 8, 9, 10-minute drives. They're perfectly content with that, and they'll just keep the ball away from you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
And Beale City is a one-loss team on the season, seen at 7-1 through 8 weeks, as their only loss on the season is a 28-20 shutout against Ishpeming, who, of course, is the Division 7 back-to-back state champions in MHSA.
I like Beale City's schedule, going out, challenging themselves, taking that loss to Ishpeming, but, you know, 20-0, that's not a terrible loss to your two-time defending state champion and number one team in the state still with Ishpeming. And then, you know, Beale City and Lakers both had Week 9 games fall through, and they said, hey, want to play each other? Sure, let's go do it. And even better, they get to go do it under the lights at Saginaw Valley. It's a really, really intriguing game. I'm looking forward to hearing how this one turns out.
And, of course, Lakers clinches their first Greater Thumb Conference West Divisional title since 2009 when they tied in a three-way tie with Reese, Vassar, and Lakers, all at 5-1. And this is the first outright Greater Thumb Conference West Division title since 2008, when they also went 5-1. Their lone loss in the conference, in division, I should say, was to Vassar, 35-14.
Yeah, so big tip of the hat for winning that Greater Thumb West Championship. This is a team full of seniors, mostly seniors that are starting. So experience really played in a factor, and I think it would have been a real disappointment had they had to share this title in any way, shape, or form.
And folks, we are this close to ending the polio disease forever, and now is our chance to change the world. To make sure no child is disabled by polio ever again, join in, speak out, and be a part of history. Be a part of Rotary International. Join your local Rotary Club in Seawing, Pigeon, Bad Axe, Sandusky, or Harbor Beach. Check out Rotary.org to see how you can get involved today. When we return, we'll take a look at the playoffs.
We are this close.
We're this close.
We are this close.
Of all my duty
to making history.
This close to changing the world.
We are this close.
This close.
This close to making sure no child suffers a crippling disease.
Ever again.
This close.
We are this close to ending polio.
To ending polio.
All we need is you. Is you.
This close.
If we don't act now, we may lose this chance forever. Help Rotary make history at endpolionow.org.
WLAW Sports is proud to present the Strong Side All Things High School Football every Sunday at 7 p.m. throughout the entire season on Sports Radio 102.1 with Clark Ramsey, Paul Adams, and what we believe Dave Hansen.
Is he still around? I haven't done one of these.
We might want to check it. He is stuck at Ubley Heights, of course, his day job. As the season winds down here, he gets shorter and shorter staffs as the season progresses. We try to get him on FaceTime, but our technology, of course, is not cooperating with us. I blame the humidity. It's that gosh darn humidity. But right now, 7:52 on your sports radio dial, and it's time to take a look at the playoffs. Yes, indeed, we are only one regular season week away from finding out our pairings in the MHSAA postseason. And let's take a look here at eight-man. We have a number of teams, of course, in the eight-man playoffs. Every single state champion in the eight-man game has come from the Thumb, NCTL, or the eight-man conference. Mid-Michigan eight-man, I should say. Sanilac County.
Sanilac County with Peck, Carsonville, Port Sanilac, and Deckerville. A very small area that the state champions have come from, but I'll tell you what. This year, they're going to have to step up their game in order to keep that intact, because there is a team over on the west side of the state named Lawrence, who I believe is the best team in the state. And don't forget about Rapid River, who is still undefeated.
And let's take a look at those projections from snoozetoyou.com, the most insightful and most accurate source for projections of the postseason.
And kudos to Snooze. He had, up until last week, had not done eight-player playoff projections.
And he's spot on.
He came up with these. He actually Facebooked me, wanted my input on this a little bit. He knows I know a lot about this eight-player game, and he was absolutely spot on with his projections.
Taking a look here at the projections, we would have Morris at Peck. Peck beat Morris 22-6 already this season back in week number 5, 22-6. And then Deckerville at Portland, St. Patrick, who is 7-0 on the season. And Deckerville's seen that 6-2, so that'd be a very interesting region. Unfortunately, in that region, in the same district, I should say, we'll see Peck and Deckerville, if they make it through the first game, take out each other yet again for another season in the district. And then in this in Region 1, District 2, we would have Caseville at Owen Gage, according to these projections. Unfortunately, Caseville more than likely is out.
They have a game against Kingston left. Kingston's a real good team. If they find a way to beat Kingston, they will make the playoffs, but three wins will not get them in. I saw the latest playoff points, and they are two teams out at this point.
Caseville at 4-4 now, and they'd be playing Owen Gage. According to these week number 7 projections, our week number 8 projections come out typically the next day or two with snoozetoyou.com doing overnight work on all of these. And then Kingston, according to these projections, playing at Big Rapids Crossroads Academy, who's 4-4. Really haven't played a whole lot of teams there, so Kingston should roll through that one as well. And now we take a look at Division 7.
Before we get there, Clark, okay, I want to say what those that aren't used to Snooze, what Snooze will do, he will have his Week 8 projections.
Probably up tomorrow.
Either up tomorrow or Tuesday. And then about Thursday or so, Friday, he will have Week 8.5 favorites.
So basically whoever's favored to win week nine.
It's the only week that he has a midweek favorite. That way you could start to see how that playoff bracket turns out, and then he'll be all over it come Saturday before that playoff show on Fox Sports. He will be all over it and have his projections, and then we could compare how good he is and where he misses.
Of course, you'll be able to catch our 2-hour special on the Strong Side this coming week, starting at 6 p.m., an hour earlier than normal, starting at 6 p.m., a 2-hour special for our playoff edition of the Strong Side. We did used to have Division 6 projections relating to us. Unfortunately, that was the only team going with Bad Axe. Unfortunately, Bad Axe is not going to be able to make the playoffs. The best they can finish at is at 5-4 and will not get the nod into the playoffs. In Division 7, through projections of week number 7, we have 4 local teams that more than likely will be in the same district. Cass City at Lakers and then Sandusky at Marlette, all poised to be in the same district. That worked out well as far as the mapping goes as well. Marlette lost to Sandusky 26-37 on October 3rd, back in week number 6. And of course, Cass City lost to Lakers in that 3-game losing streak mid-season for them. So we have some rematches, coming up here in the postseason.
Yeah, and that's if Sandusky and Marlette take care of their business. If they don't, I'm not sure if either one of those teams, maybe Marlette could slide in. Here's my scenario. If Marlette and Sandusky don't win, I think that district's going to pull new New Lothrop and Saginaw Michigan Lutheran Seminary over. I think that could be your district.
That's not pretty.
If Sandusky and Marlette do not win, I think when you look at the map, they're going to suck over MLS and New Lothrop. That's just my projections if Marlette and Sandusky don't take care of business. If they take care of their business and win, I love this district.
And the only problem is this district winner, according to these projections, through 7 weeks, the district winner would go on to play in regionals, a small team called Detroit Loyola, who is the state runner-up for the past two seasons, falling only to Ishpeming by a mere total of 4 points, I think, or something
like
that
matter. That's not a real good scenario for anybody that's got to face Loyola, not named Ishpeming. This Loyola team is for real every single year. They'll probably be favored again if they face Ishpeming in that state championship game, which it looks like those two teams are really on the collision course. Loyola, that's a tough draw for anybody.
Now into Division 8, one local team would more than likely fall to Division 8, and that would be the Harbor Beach Pirates, who 2 years ago they were in this division. Last year they got bumped up to Division 7 due to student count. This year they lost 32 students, so we'll bump them down to Division 8 yet again, and projecting them to play against Sterling Heights Parkway Christian, who is at 5-3 through 8 weeks. Of course, these are projections through week 7, but these have not really changed much. When on the same district would be Waterford, Our Lady of the Lakes, who Harbor Beach played in the regional matchup. It was the regional matchup in 2012, and Clarkston Everest as well in that same region. In District 2 of that same region, Ottawa Lake Whitford and Morenci, and Petersburg Summerfield at Lutheran Westland. So, really, the way the bracket's showing, it's almost identical to 2012, with the exception of New Lothrop up in Division 7, whereas you have Muskegon Catholic Central and Mendon on the same side as Harbor Beach, and Beale City on the other side of the bracket. So, if all things go to play accordingly, and the cards fall in the same direction, we could see a 2012 repeat.
I think we're looking at it. We're looking at 2012 all over again. I don't know if we're going to see the same result. Muskegon Catholic Central has not forgotten what happened to them in 2012, and they showed that last year. They were happy to get rid of Harbor Beach, and they went on and rolled to the state championship. Meanwhile, Beale City's on the other side with really no competition to speak of. So Beale City should easily get to the state championship game.
And, of course, you can listen to our two-hour special on Sports Radio 102.1 at 6 p.m. next week on The Strong Side with Paul Adams. We're pulling out all the stops here for you next week as it's a two-hour special discussing the playoffs as the playoff pairings are announced after Week 9. Some new week games coming up, of course, the WIW Sports Game of the Week, Lakers versus Beale City at Saginaw Valley State University. That should be a good one. You'll catch all that on Sports Radio 102.1 at 6:10 p.m. with coverage starting then and kickoff at 7 p.m. Friday night under the lights at Saginaw Valley State University. Lakers in Beale City in Week 9. And no other divisional games going on. It's all over the place. Bad Axe at Ubley and USA at Harbor Beach are the only two, technically, games going on in the Greater Thumb Conference. Until next time, you're listening to The Strong Side with Paul Adams and Clark Ramsey. We'll see you next week.